It's time for our spotlight today on KRWC, and it's our third Tuesday of the month of September. And on the third Tuesday, we chat with Adam Austing. Adam is University of Minnesota Extension Ag Educator for the Wright County area, and he joins us here with a monthly update on things. Adam, good morning.
Good morning, Tim.
Nice to talk with you again. We have been pretty wet here in the last, 3 to 4 weeks, off and on, you know, but we've been getting some timely rains, unlike the bulk of the summertime, unfortunately.
Right, yeah, of course, we kind of missed our vital windows when it comes to our crop production, you know, when they need our water, but, you know, it might give us some mud, it might cause us some issues this fall if it keeps raining, but it's looking a little dry here in the next coming weeks here. Hopefully it kind of stays that way so we're not dealing with too much mud during harvest, and you know, at the end of the day, we'll take it. You know, no more fire restrictions. You know, things look green again. So a little bit more moisture that'll get down into our subsoil moisture to help replenish things. So we'll take it, but it's the timing's definitely not right.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I mean, one way or another, with the drought effects on the crop itself, I mean, that aside, of course, that's you know, not great for the producers, but if it had continued without any rainfall and those rather hot, windy, dry conditions continuing, as you said, the subsoil moisture just gets worse and worse. So at least, if nothing else, this will act as a little bit of a, hopefully, a little recharge here.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're looking at right now, really. I mean, in our natural areas and where we have our grasses and wildlife, lawns, landscaping, all of that, obviously the water does us a lot of good right now. But really, in our cropping situations, we're kind of looking forward to next year at this point. So any rain we get this fall is going to help, yeah, like you said, recharge that subsoil moisture down there and, you know, get as much water as we can in there for next year. Because if we get dry again next year, you know, we'll take as much of that moisture deep down as we can. That's definitely something we learned this year, is that large amount of subsoil moisture that we had way down there from, you know, the last two kind of wet years, early in 2020 and then 2019 was really wet. I think that, you know, we had so much water sitting down there that it helped us drag through this year a little bit. So if we can get as much of that this fall and winter so that if it comes to having a dry summer again next year, we can kind of, you know, have a little bit of water down there to help us limp along again.
What's the situation with crops? I know most of them, you know, are kind of a wash for this year, unfortunately, but are they coming out of the fields? Are producers kind of letting them go for a little bit here yet? Or are there some that are still salvageable yet?
Yeah, most of our fields will be harvested like normal. They'll just have really, really low yields compared to what we want, obviously. But, you know, they are doing some different things. There's some fields out there, you know, especially corn, where I just don't see any cobs. So I can't imagine it being worth the time and money to try to harvest those fields. What they'll do with those that are still standing, I'm not sure. Some people will probably opt to just plow them in because that's the simplest and easiest and probably cheapest thing to do, but then we're dealing with a lot of residue issues maybe for next year. Some people, you know, I saw one guy out chopping, or we're done chopping our corn by now, obviously, but he was actually just mowing or cutting his corn field, which I assumed he baled up, and he'll either use that as bedding for his cattle, or, you know, he might be able to feed that a little bit yet. It might have some feeding issues, but at least with something like beef cattle, you can have them pick the corn off the cobs that might be there. So a lot of different things they're doing out there. Obviously, some people that wouldn't normally make silage, corn silage this year, decided to make silage. We had people, you know, I haven't heard of it in our area, but I know some people, you know, if you get after it early, you can chop soybeans and use it as a feed source for cattle. One good thing coming from this rain for sure is we've seen a lot of growth in our meadows, our pastures, our hay fields, our alfalfa fields. So that's given us a little bit of extra forage this year, especially if you're willing to go out there and get a little bit of a later cutting. You know, we're kind of getting to that point of year where we don't really want to cut our perennial forage stands anymore because they won't regrow. very much, and that leaves them a little bit more susceptible to having issues over winter. But, you know, if it's an alfalfa field you're about to plow under, or if you really just don't have a choice and need that feed now, we're getting a little bit of that extra forage here late this fall.
And what about the rain for those kind of fields? Does that help? I suppose a lot depends on the temperature combined with additional rain.
Right, yeah, and, you know, it's kind of a species-by-species thing. Our ones that actually, some of our grasses are cool-season grasses, and that's why we're seeing, along with the rain, these cooler temps help our lawns. So if you have a, you know, a meadow or a pasture with some of those more cool-season grasses in it, that's going to be looking really good this fall. But, yeah, the rain's going to be – rains, that's where we're going to see the biggest effect on the agriculture side at this point in the fall. Our soybeans, our corn, pretty much any sort of row crop, something like that's too far along to really help it more than maybe just a real little bit. But these hay fields, whether it's, you know, growing this last-minute forage for this fall, or it's just kind of recharging that field and getting it healthy again for next spring, that's where we're really going to appreciate these fall rainfalls that we're getting right now.
Any long-season soybeans that might still be helped or that might be halfway decent yet this year? And how about any other crops or varieties?
Yeah, so, I mean, with some of our really long-season soybean varieties, or if it got in pretty late, we might be able to get just a little bit of a bump in the kernel or in the beans themselves yet to help out with test weight. You might see one extra little pod or two come on there. So with some of our really late stuff, it might help a little bit. But if we don't get much more heat either, it might be kind of a wash. So some of those, you know, like I said, soybean varieties, it could have helped a little bit if they're not dropping leaves much yet, but most of them are. Corn, I'd say actually with corn, we're pretty much well past the point of really doing anything to help our corn crop. It would have had been a really late planted field to be in a situation where this rain really did much to affect yield. So that's not really doing much. We might get a chance here too. You know, I think I've seen some rye planted into corn silage fields or into wheat fields. I'd assume that's being grown to try to get some kind of last minute forage for this fall. It could be a cover crop, too. It's hard for me to say as I drive past these fields what it's going to be used for. But, you know, that's definitely an opportunity I think some farmers took advantage of, whether it was taking your small grains off in late July or if it was, you know, kind of that corn silage field in early August. We have, you know, about 2 months at that point of growing season left. So that's a good opportunity that I think some farmers are taking to really take advantage of every inch of this growing season to try to, you know, get as much feed for those cattle as we can.
Adam Austing is our guest, University of Minnesota Extension educator for the Wright County area, on today's Spotlight on KRWC. Shifting gears, I guess it kind of goes hand in hand with what we're talking about, and that is, well, actually, before we get to that, let's have you comment, if you can, just on what pricing is situated at. In light of the, you know, poor crop coverage and the yield that we're going to not be getting too much of.
Yeah, so the prices have been holding, I don't know, fairly steady still in the past several months here. They're maybe slowly, they are slowly going down, but they're still not terrible from where we saw them, you know, a couple of years ago. We had corn sitting at about $5.17 out of Chicago this morning. You know, it was up around six and up above that for a long time this summer. But some of that weather, you know, Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, some of those eastern Corn Belt states, even eastern Iowa, I think to a point, if they miss some of those bad storms, some of those farmers out there have incredible yields. So that's kind of been dragging us down a little bit, along with this dry weather that it looks like most of the country is going to be getting as we move into harvest season here. That dry weather really just helps get the crop out of the off the field, obviously, and do so in a high quality manner to, you know, make sure we're not getting much foreign material and stuff like that in our grains. So that's helping hold the price down a little bit. You know, that those those factors. What's holding it up, though, is the weather in this area and across, you know, the Dakotas and Canada and a lot of places that saw this drought this summer. That's what's holding price as well. So, yeah, like I said, corn's at 517. Soybeans are down to 1263. I've heard some comments saying that really what's dragging soybeans down, one of the bigger factors is the corn price. You know, corn is king, as people say. So when corn's going down, people sometimes assume that means other things are going to go down. But it sounds like China and some other areas are still buying tons of soybeans, you know, to help feed those pork populations that they have out there. They're growing a lot of pork, trying to rebuild that. And so soybeans, you know, down a little further than I've heard a couple people say maybe they should be, but still sitting there at 1263 this morning. Wheat is still looking really strong at 697. Our farmers that grew some wheat this year are going to be happy with that. And our milk price is a little low right now, sitting at about 1662 this morning. Not prices we're unfamiliar with. Hopefully, as we get towards this holiday season, we usually see a little bit of a bump in milk price as, you know, consumers are buying more cheese and butter and cream and things like that for all of our holiday celebrations and Thanksgiving meals and stuff like that. So hopefully that bumps up here soon. A lot of those products, so the milk that they're going to be using to make those, you know, cheeses and different holiday type products, you know, a lot of those would be starting to be made now. So I'm surprised we're not seeing that bump quite yet, but hopefully that starts happening here soon with our milk price.
September 19th through the 25th is the National Farm Safety and Health Week, and I know you've got some tips for that for us.
Yeah, definitely. So like you said, yeah, it's National Farm Safety and Health Week. So we're doing what we can to kind of just remind people to be safe and give them some tips about being safe on the farm and on the roadways. You know, yesterday started off the week, and they've kind of given a daily theme to each week, or each day, I should say. And so yesterday was tractor safety and rural roadway safety. So that's basically, you know, let's remember to be patient, you know, think twice, you know, look behind you twice before making that turn into the field. That traffic can sneak up fast behind you. This is kind of our time of year where we like to do kind of our public service announcements too, reminding people that, you know, there is going to be large, slow traffic on the roads, and do your best to deal with it for a couple months, and they'll be back out of the field and everything will be packed away for the winter, and we can go back to getting places fast when that's all over with. So our kind of key message from Extension for this week is slow down, think twice, be safe. You know, that kind of really sums up during a busy harvest season. Make sure we're slowing down, not doing anything too crazy. Think twice, you know, look over your shoulder twice, like I said, when making those turns, and just be safe. You know, at the end of the day, yeah, even though if things aren't going well, you know, we all have bad days when it's busy harvest season like that. Just remember to be safe at the end of the day, because we want to get back to it and try again tomorrow.
You know, it strikes me that it's one of the times of the year where not only do you have the situation where you might have, you know, really large, slower moving farm machinery on the roads, but it's also sharing the roads with some of the smallest vehicles trying to get in a last motorcycle ride of the year or something like that. So you've got the combination of really both ends of the spectrum there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's funny. That reminds me of a story. I have some people that, you know, they like to ride their motorcycles and thought they were taking a safe left or passing a tractor with a baler behind it, you know, thought they were doing so safely. But remember that a lot of that equipment doesn't necessarily have turn signals and stuff like that. So they were kind of pushed off the road. Thankfully, everybody was okay in that situation. But, you know, if you're out for a last bike ride, you know, that's definitely not a situation either where you want to be cruising that, you know, 20 miles per hour like a lot of this equipment does. But that stuff can get scary really fast when you're riding on motorcycles. So remember that, you know, this equipment's a little bit old, especially the older stuff. We're not going to get turn signals necessarily. They're going to have a tough time seeing you with the equipment that they're dragging behind them. So know that they might not know you're there, the people operating equipment. And, yeah, be safe on those bikes. They're a lot of fun, but things can go wrong quickly.
And I would imagine on the other side of the equation for producers that are trying to harvest and or maybe just transporting or moving equipment from one place to another, whenever possible, and it's not always possible, but whenever possible, try to do that during the, you know, better light, daytime type conditions if you can. At night, it gets to be pretty dicey.
Yeah, I mean, during harvest season, we don't get many choices as far as, you know, when we get to start and stop. A lot of times the weather and stuff like that kind of controls that. So, do as much during the daylight as you can. A lot of this newer machinery is getting some really nice flashing lights and things like that to, for safety reasons. So that's nice. But, just like I said, make sure you're taking your time and being safe and getting through this together.
Adam Austing, our guest with the University of Minnesota Extension Service here in Wright County. Let's shift gears here for the last couple of minutes of the program and talk about some other things, starting out maybe the Master Gardeners program. I know we ran a story here recently that you were looking for more folks to possibly become new Master Gardeners or to re-up their Master Gardener program and be a part of the fold for the coming years.
Yeah, definitely. So for I'll just try to go through this pretty quickly. The deadline to apply to the Master Gardener program is October 1st, so we got about 10 days, and the cost of that is $295. So what the Master Gardeners do is, you know, it's a group of volunteers that when you become a volunteer, you get a chance to go through something we call the core course, and that is a whole bunch of, it's a course of basic horticultural knowledge. So we go through kind of how plants work, pesticides, fertilizers, species identification, pests, you know, bugs, things like that, soil science. That course that's online goes through a whole bunch of that stuff. People really enjoy it and find that interesting to kind of learn a little bit of the basic science behind gardening and stuff like that. So you get that opportunity. Then after that, we ask our first year interns to complete, well, you're called an intern when you become a Master Gardener for the first year. We ask those interns to complete 50 hours of volunteer time in the first year. That number can sound daunting to people, but really most people I say don't really have too tough of a time meeting that requirement. We have things like Spring Day is a huge educational event in late March that we'll be doing again in 2022. That's a really fun time for our volunteers. You can go to a farmer's market and kind of answer questions or do some educational stuff there. A lot of our volunteers like to go to the county fair, and we have a kind of a booth where we help answer questions and give people the information they need there during the Wright County Fair. And then, you know, a lot of volunteers like to do different children's programs, teaching at libraries, teaching at schools, getting kids' hands in the dirt and teaching them something about how plants grow or how gardens work, things like that. So if any of that sounds interesting to you, feel free to reach out to me or apply if you know where to find things. I can always direct you there too. I think we have about 5 people that have applied so far, so it'll be a fun group coming in. Last year we had about 10, so a lot of new volunteers and a lot of new excitement in the group, and hopefully we can get people the information that you might need to know if it's the right program for you. So in the next few days here, if that's interesting to you, feel free to reach out and I'll get you the information you want or need.
I don't know how most backyard gardeners, unless you have a really, really big garden, most were able to, even with in-town watering restrictions and things like that, were able to water their gardens. So I don't know how much impact the dry summer had on that. Did you hear anything as far as is everything burned up, or did we have a fairly decent garden season?
It was hit and miss for the people that have the time or really, you know, make it a priority to be out there watering regularly. Some people saw absolute bumper crops, you know, when everything went right. Some of our vegetables and plants that prefer a little bit cooler temps, especially some weaker varieties of tomatoes and some other things like that, we saw some problems with, kind of burning up leaves, just can't handle the heat sort of a thing. We saw more issues with, I think, the fruit quality or the vegetable quality, I should say, too, just the quality of the actual, you know, thing that you're picking off the plant to eat. So misformed peppers, tomatoes with cracks or spots in them, a lot of things that at the end of the day were kind of cosmetic a lot of times, but didn't necessarily look perfect. I do know some of our larger scale, you know, commercial fruit and vegetable growers, some of them had a tough time keeping up with the irrigation schedule for people that weren't used to, you know, having to irrigate quite so much. But yeah, overall, I think for the people that kept up with their gardens, it went pretty well. For me personally, I went camping for a week in the middle of July, and there were a couple other gaps in the middle of the summer where I wasn't around to water my garden, so mine doesn't look good. But, you know, that's pretty explainable as to why there.
And lastly, you've got the Know to Grow Zoom series continuing.
Yeah, so Know to Grow is kind of something we've done for, this will be kind of the third year now. Last year we moved it on Zoom, and we're going to keep it there online so that people from all over the place can join us. Basically, it's a series for our small farmers to kind of go through some different, you know, topics relating to their farm, and hopefully that, you know, that'll be helpful to them. So from November 15th to 18th, from 4 to 5 p.m., our plan is going to be on the first day, the 15th there, we'll actually have Becky Swenson from Swenson Gardens in Howard Lake. She'll be the first farmer that joins us, and she'll be talking about how they market their stuff, because they market both on a very local level with, you know, people coming out to their farm and buying stuff, and also on a very regional and even national level, they're shipping their peony bulbs all across the nation. So to get that perspective on, you know, those different scales of how you market successfully at, you know, such different levels will be interesting. And then on the next day, we'll be having a beef producer, so a very different perspective going from, you know, flowers to beef there on how does he kind of direct market his beef and how does he go about finding his consumers. The third day of this series, we're talking about food safety, kind of in action on the farm. So we're going to try to keep away from the boring rules and stuff like that about food safety and have a couple farmers on that talk about how they actually, you know, put food safety aspects into action on their farm and how that actually looks from an operational standpoint. And then to wrap up the series, the last day we'll be talking about kind of some food law stuff. You know, product of the farm law is kind of always changing. So kind of get an update on what are the current food laws relevant to our small farms. And, you know, that's kind of our series there for this year. So it kind of started as a marketing thing. We're starting to mix in a couple other topics, too, just to try to meet the needs of our farmers. So that'll be a good one in November for anybody that's interested.
All right. Well, Adam, I think we're out of time here. We appreciate your time this morning. And everybody remember National Farm Safety Week this week. Where do they reach you, or what are some of the ways to look up further information on any topics that we talked about today?
Yeah, definitely. If there's anything you have questions about that was interesting to you today, you feel free to contact me. I can either get you what you're looking for, or we can talk things through. My number is 763-682-7381, and my email address is aausting, so aausting at umn.edu. Yeah, remember with this National Farm Safety and Health Week to just slow down, think twice, and be safe, and we'll have a good harvest season.
Very good, Adam. Always good to talk with you. You have a safe month, and we'll chat with you again in October.
Sounds good. Thank you, Tim.
All right. Take care. Adam Austing, University of Minnesota Extension Service Agent for Wright County, on today's Spotlight on KRWC.